Hello and welcome to the fourth Twickenham CC podcast. Very pleased to welcome Eugene Berger.
Hey Dan.
Hi Eugene, how's things?
Very good, thanks, and you?
Good, good, all fine here. And also pleased to welcome back, actually, Kev Cavilla. Kev, you're all fine and dandy at your end?
Hey gents, yeah, good. Took a mini sabbatical after the predictions, so...
Don't worry on the prediction score, because of course only one of us got the predictions right to do with the West Indies, and I can't quite recall which member of our team that was, but predictions, if ever anyone wants to come and find out what's going to happen, I am your man, including for T20s, even though I really don't follow T20 in any great detail. So one to me, even though God knows how I managed to get that right. Enough of such things. It was quite a while ago, that West Indies series. This podcast is going to be about looking forward to things that are going to rapidly start to take place. The cricket season is just around the corner. It's next Saturday, the first 11 start out against Acton in the game that's traditionally played in sub-zero temperatures with gloves and scarves to the ready. And the Sunday 11 kick-off against Englefield Green the day after. So cricket is on us. There's plenty for us to dissect here. I was going to kick off by asking Yuge. I say that the season is almost on us. The season actually is on us, because our LMS team, our last man stands team, played what seems like an eternity ago, right?
Yeah, 17th of March was the first game.
17th of March. That is crazily early in my calendar to be playing cricket in England. Fair play to you.
We did field with gloves on. It was that cold.
And you won, though, I believe.
Yeah, we did. We did. It's always nice to get the cobwebs out the way. It's a nice net, I think, is the way I think we try to look at it, even though the Spring Cup is cold.
I was going to ask you about that. So the Spring Cup is what? Is that a knockout competition that we're involved in? Or is that a league? Or
yeah, it's basically an early competition to get LMS started. It's the full season of LMS starts on the 1st of May. But the Spring Cup is, just a little bit of a get the cobwebs dusted off.
Marvellous.
Yeah, mini league, basically.
I was going to say, Kev, you played in the game as well, right?
Yeah, I didn't make the first one. It'd be amazing if we could somehow tag some videos into this, but the video of the hailstorm while the guys were out batting was pretty biblical. Played last week. We had a home game. Fortunately, we actually host the Spring Cup, so all of the games now moving forward are on the green, which makes it nice. It was a pretty good win actually last week. We bowled them out for about 120 odd and knocked it off pretty quickly. And unfortunately, the latest round of fixtures fell foul of the weather, which is, I guess, one of the potential flaws with the Spring Cup. But
how could they fall foul of the weather? You played through a hailstorm. I mean, what could possibly happen that's worse than that?
It's funny you say that. A lot of the teams were asking that. So I think a lot of it's just down to player safety. I think that's what you know. We play on artificial, but part of that means that you can't wear spikes because we play on artificial. So right. Slippy grounds, running around on the square, they're quite sensitive to that. They're all pretty early. It's a shame because, yeah, like you said, for a lot of us, it's a net. You know, we spoke early on the first couple of podcasts about nets, and I'm not a massive fan of that sort of indoor net. But I found LMS to be a much better option, really. So I think they'll reschedule it for next week and hopefully we'll do well. Be nice to win it.
Yeah, well, I can see the logic there as well, because the ball's going to come on at more or less the same speed that you're going to face in league games in 3 or 4 weeks' time, which is totally different to it firing at you off a hard surface at the Oval, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And just other stuff. You know, batting in partnerships, running between the wickets, starting to, you know, work on your gaps. I just find it a much better simulation.
Yeah, and did Yuge manage to score many runs?
I did, then. I did score runs. I scored 10 runs. I was the only person to go out. 250s were scored on the day. And yeah, unfortunately, I was the only wicket.
Yuge, it's all about the team. You know that. You're a skipper. It's all about the team.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was good to see. It was good to see Parampreet and JJ get some runs. Both got 50s opening up the batting for us. So
really good 50. But obviously, one of the good things, Yuge, is that you can look back at your dismissal and understand where you went wrong. Was it hands, head, feet not moving? You know, we've got a lovely highlight.
Yeah, the pitch vision stuff is now live, so I'm gathering that's what you're talking about. And yeah, you can go and review it. It's on the YouTube page if you want to go and have a look. So there's no hiding anymore, lads. Unfortunately, all games on the green are going to be recorded and relived on many a beverage.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
I can see a highlight show that just goes through the horrific shots that are played through the course of the year. I mean, that'll go viral. Some of the shots that people are going to play to get out. We could make money on this one, guys. I think that's a great idea.
Well, Dan, one of the brilliant things about the system is that obviously you track everything that happens ball by ball. If you tracked that it was a four, a six or a wicket, it automatically stores the clip of that ball so that you immediately have a highlights package. It's a seriously good bit of kit.
Does it store leave alones?
We'll have to break the settings. Put it into bore mode.
Oh, I like the sound of that, bore mode. Yeah, that's my life. That's brilliant. Joking apart, the LMS format is it's quite quick, isn't it? It only takes 2-3 hours for a game?
Yeah, two hours in the game's done. Yeah,
under 2 hours.
Yeah. I mean, it strongly encourage anyone at TCC to get involved. You say it's fantastic practice, gets you into the groove for league cricket. So, I mean, fair play to Hughes as well. He's the man who brought LMS to Twickenham, and it sounds like there's plenty of LMS cricket on offer.
Thousands of teams. I mean, obviously, we could probably make this a whole discussion point, but, you know, obviously the ECB is pushing this new 100-ball format as the next big thing in cricket. LMS is 25 ball overs. It's 100 ball cricket. It's been around for years. It's a brilliant way of getting a game in without, you know, again, going back to one of our first podcasts, is about participating without playing. It covers that off because everybody, without question, bats or bowls or both.
And if I've got this right, when the actual league starts, it's a national competition, right? It's a big pyramid. You keep winning, you keep going up and up and up. Is that right?
Yep, 100%. So, I mean, it's firstly a world format. So, I think, I don't know where we are now. I think we must be about 3,000th in the world. But yeah, I mean, we originally, when we started, I think we were 80,000 or something like that. So, yeah, it's a good format. And this year, we're actually, when LMS host their finals for England, we are negotiating at the moment to have them actually being played at Twickenham.
Marvellous.
Be good.
Excellent. Just going to move on, guys. It's been a relatively quiet period, I think, in the run-up to the IPL and then the run-up to the English season starting. But, of course, one thing that did come up in the IPL was, that old friend of controversy, the Mancad. And I couldn't let this podcast go without picking your brains on that. You saw the incident live, right? Did you what do you make of it?
I did. I first of all just have to say that I feel sorry for the actual person. I think his name's something Vivanesh Mancad. He's actually a really good cricketer. He's taken multiple fifers and scored multiple double hundreds.
But the government of India actually, they gave him an award in 1973 for his services to cricket. So, you know, they clearly rated him.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I did see it live. And, in my opinion, in this type of game format that we play in, when winning and losing and the money that's at stake is a matter of inches, that extra inch counts. So in my opinion,
talk us through what happened. Because it was involved. Josh Butler was involved, wasn't he? Again, and what happened? Ashwin was bowling, and
basically, but Dozy walked out of his crease. Ashwin then whipped the bells off, and in the laws of the cricket, that's out. And I do say the laws because there is a lot of questions about the spirit of cricket. I know Kev and I have a different opinion on this, so I'll let Kev have a word.
Talk us through it, Kev. I mean, the Mancad, the reason, of course, it's named after him is he did this in a test in 1947, 48, something like that. And it was the first time it had ever been done. And it was massively controversial then and clearly still is. What do you make of it all?
I'm busy biting my lip. I think...
No need to do that, mate. Away you go. Off your long run. New ball in hand.
Isn't it? Hey, look, I think spirit of cricket is a completely irrelevant one. I think the amount of money that's in the game now, it's irrelevant. If you can win, you have to win. That's a fact, I guess. My issue is that because it's become such a kind of taboo subject, I don't think actually umpires know how to legislate around it. And it's almost, if you get mad catted, you're out. The reality is, when you look at the footage, the point where Ashwin would normally have released the ball, Butler's in his crease. He's completely entitled to be where he is. Of course, when you're looking down the wicket and you think the guy's bowling the ball and he's behind you, you then keep walking. In that situation, Ashwin stopped. He then paused. He waited for Butler to drift out the crease and he took the bails off. That it wasn't a man cad. It was a kind of a blatant attempt to steal a run out. it's wholly different situations where you see a guy running in and before he's even in his delivery stride, someone's taken off to steal a couple of yards. 1,000,000%. Stomp your foot down, whip the bales off and send him off because that is cheating. It's gaining an advantage. That wasn't what happened in that. And look, Ashwin's a clever cricketer. I don't particularly like him, especially not after that behaviour. But in that situation, the issue and the fault lies with the umpires.
Well, I was going to say that because there are two separate things there, aren't there? First of all, Joss Butler, wake up, right? This is the second time you've been man-catted in your international career because, of course, he was out in this form in 2014 against Sri Lanka. So that's the first thing. Wake up, stay behind the line, no matter what the laws. There's no issue then. But leaving that to one side, shouldn't the third umpire have realised that exactly what you say, within the laws of the game, he wasn't out, was he? Because my understanding of it is, he basically had stopped after he'd entered his bowling stride, and that's not allowed. It's where you would expect him to be when he bowls the ball, no? And in that reading of it, he was behind the line.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what's the third umpire doing?
Well, he was in there. I mean, the third umpire is the one that gave him out, actually.
Yeah.
The really interesting part that I think about this whole conversation and this whole story is that there's not enough of it that happens. Therefore, you know, Kev's absolutely right that when they superimposed a whole bunch of, you know, videos and pictures on top of each other, you know, but that was after, what, probably 24 hours of you know, researching it, not the 30 seconds that the third umpire has to make the decision there and then.
Mr. So, Eugene, behavior, 12 minutes I had that in half. In our club WhatsApp chat, 24 hours. Look, I guess the other side for me is, how many rubbish players have we seen get man-catted? You know, I think it's becoming used as a way of getting rid of good players, and that was a situation we had there. I think going back, I think the West Indies under 19 team or someone. Correct me, sorry, I haven't looked at this properly.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
they won the World Cup final by just running in and whipping the bales off. And it was a blatant attempt of trying to get the wicket because it was coming down to needing one off the last ball. It only comes around in these sort of situations. You know, the Kings 11 Punjab were massively under the pump. Butler was completely taking the game away from them. And then it comes about. It didn't happen in the natural course of events. It happens when teams really need it. It's becoming a kind of unofficial way of trying to sneak a wicket.
And Kev. It's happened 4 times in Test matches.
Yeah. Test matches?
Yeah. The last time it happened in a Test match was 1979.
Yeah. Not many people go for quick singles in Test matches.
It's happened 4 times in ODIs. Last one was some bloke called Joss Butler. And before then, it was Peter Kirst in 1993. It doesn't happen very often, mate. Well, it might feel like it does because we talk about it forever. But
Did you see in an IPL game, it's not long after that, I think it was Russell tried to do it to Dhoni, but he was in the crease.
Yeah. So that's because he's lazy, huge.
It to happen more and more. And I'm pretty sure we're going to see a lot of it this year in our leagues that we're playing in now. Yeah. Once you see somebody do it.
That's what everyone's worried about. And I think you're probably right on that, Dan. It's not that that's happened now, but that's my fear, is that it starts becoming that sort of backup method of dismissal.
Well, I think the point about league cricket is the one that really catches my attention there, because if anything's going to cause controversy, it's going to be whatever an umpire says it's not going to help. A batsman is going to feel aggrieved. A bowler's going to say, "I'm just trying to, you know, get a wicket," and you can see that, you know, really flagging up and being controversial. I mean, I think the way around it though, surely, is to tighten up the law. It's when the ball is actually bowled, not whether it should, could, might, or will be bowled, but is bowled. No, wouldn't that be a way to just sort this out?
But when you've bowled the ball, you can't then run the other person out. The ball's
absolutely
live.
Yeah, so the ball's gone. And then Joss Butler can race as far down the track as he wants, or be as absent-minded as he wants.
But then how's it enforced? Because obviously the bowler's lost the ability to reprimand the guy for leaving the crease if he bowls the ball. Is it the third umpire then?
Does he reprimand him? You don't reprimand somebody if you appeal for LBW.
But what I mean is, if you're saying it's when you bowl the ball,
yeah,
then up until the point that you let go, you can just run the guy out.
Yep.
Okay.
Because it'll be clear then, and there'll be no grey area.
Right, an alternative one. What about, obviously, you know, we've always debated actually how much does the third umpire do. You know, it's a pretty cushy job until there's a referral. is not something they can look at. And if the batsman is beyond the crease at the point of delivery, then it's one short.
It does make you make a point there, because they're doing that for no balls now.
Exactly. You know,
third umpire. Yeah. So yeah, it's a good point, Dad.
I like that one. I had never even thought of that, Kev. I like that. Do it. But I'd never even thought of that. And then you could actually make sure that it's a 22-yard run rather than a 20-yard run, couldn't you? Mm.
Exactly. You take it away from the players. You focus on bowling, they focus on batting, and then let the umpires can take care of the margins. And then it's a simple thing. You keep letting it know. You've gone too far. Here you go. There's one run gone.
Never let it be said that this podcast doesn't come up with new ideas. No, I think that's one step on from where we are. Because, I mean, if nothing else, it does get people talking. And it's been the talk of the town, you know, on our club's WhatsApp group, on sort of all the web pages that we follow that talk cricket. So, if nothing else, is the controversy not good?
It gets more people talking about cricket.
Yep.
Anything, you know, what's that old adage saying? There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That was an almighty great Kev, fair play.
Well, I tell you what it did damage. I mean, not a single soul was talking about what happened in the Big Bash final, that's for sure. The IPL just completely subsumed it. I couldn't even tell you who won. It was just man cad everywhere.
Yep, I hear you. Have you been watching the IPL much, guys? I mean, I must admit I have not, but I know quite a few members of our club follow it religiously. What do you make of it so far? Good cricket, bad cricket, lots of runs around.
I think it's amazing, actually. One of my favourite tournaments. You see some of the best talent on show. One of the crazy things is that it's a true team game in a lot of these things, because, you know, just using RCB as an example here, they've played six and lost.
RCB
six.
Royal Challengers Bangalore.
Royal Challengers Bangalore. Yeah, okay. They've played six and lost six, and they have Virat Kohli and AB de Villiers in the same side.
In their top three, yeah. Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. Yeah. And then you see, like, you know, Dre Russ at the moment, he's just scoring runs for fun. I think they needed today's game, I can't remember which one it was, they needed 58 or three overs.
Yeah.
They got it. It's just unbelievable.
They did their best to lose. Everyone was amazed they didn't bring him in. And then, yeah, the 28 off an over. He has been absolutely fantastic. That's the best thing about it, is that it's so high pressure that people get their chances. You know, no one thought Bairstow was going to play very much. He scored an amazing 100, opening up with Warner. And then there are a couple of injuries. And the young West Indian fast bowler, Azhari Joseph, he got a game yesterday. He took six wickets. Didn't even bowl his full four overs. You know, that would change his life. And that's what's special about the IPL. You know, he's a young guy that won't be making a lot of money out of cricket. There was an injury to, I think, the New Zealand bowler, Adam Milne. He had to pull out. They called up Joseph, and out of nowhere, that kid has got a chance on IPL. He's grabbed it with both hands, and fair play to him. That should be a launch pad and get him earning good money. And, you know, how can that not be?
And that's what it's all about, Kevin, it earning good money. That's what it's all about.
Well, they only get five, 8 years, 10 years, maybe, if you're a fast bowler. Get it where you can.
Yeah, no, I follow that. I must admit, talking of, you know, the whole occasion, I mean, if you'd say Rajasthan Royals on a balmy night in April, because that's, I think, who Ben Stokes is playing for, or Derby, where Durham are currently playing, on a cold April day, I mean, even I would have to say that's an absolute no-brainer. I've been to Derby enough times to know it's bloody freezing in August, let alone in April. So, you know, I can totally see why players want to do it.
And where else will you see David Warner and Johnny Bairstow hugging each other in the middle of a cricket field?
That was a full bromance. I mean,
it was, genuine. Wasn't it?
It seemed really genuine.
I want to see if they're going to do that in the Ashes.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. Where's your money, Yuge? I'm guessing not.
Well, I'd have to say England, if I'm honest, about the Ashes, that is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, you've moved on from the hug, haven't you? Okay.
Well, I think we can get to the Ashes a bit later, guys. There's plenty of time to talk about that. And, of course, the World Cup. New Zealand having named their squad recently. There's plenty of time to go into those issues. I was just going to sort of ask about another controversy. And now, you're going to have to help me out here. Dwayne Oliver, in my world. But how are you called? What's his name in your language?
Dwayne Olivier.
That's Olivier. That's the boy.
Yeah.
Now, he's been causing a bit of controversy. Can you talk through what he's done and why this is interesting?
Yeah, so he's effectively turned his back on South African cricket by signing Kolpak to play in England.
what that effectively means is that, you know, one of the counties can use him as a non-overseas player if you sign Colpack and you turn your back on it. And I think the really interesting part is we've seen more and more people do that. I mean, Kyle Abbott did it. And it's, you know, it's interesting considering he's just played, I think he played 5 tests. He took 50 wickets, or maybe it was 10 tests and he's taken 50
five,
wickets already.
Did you say 50 and 5? That'd be a fair effort.
Yeah. 48 wickets in 10 games.
Yeah, that's good.
Average 19. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
And then just to go, look, I've just done all of that. I'm going to sign Colpack and I'm going to go and play, I think it's Yorkshire he signed for. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. But, you know, to your point there a little bit earlier, Dan, it's about the money, I think. I think, well, it might be. But then there's statements that have come out that, you know, if he becomes eligible to play for England, he'll play for England, which that took me by surprise, like a real massive surprise that there, you know, if you come over here and you want to earn some top dollar, I get that. But then playing for another country, and again, you know, Kepler Vessels did it. I'm sure there's a number of other people that have done it, but that for me was the big surprise. I really didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that, isn't it? Because it's part and parcel of many other sports. Off air, Kev mentioned, you know, Declan Rice in football. I mean, this just happens, doesn't it? But in cricket, I guess it's not quite accepted in the same way. Would that be right, Kev? How do you see this?
I guess I don't know if we can judge it by what's acceptable or not, but I mean, you're right. It's not been as prevalent for sure. I guess, you know, the reason why this caught my attention was that, you know, I think it's where it's been more prevalent in kind of fringe players or players from countries which, you know, no disrespect for them, are second or third tier and don't get the same opportunities. You see a lot in rugby, Pacific Islanders will go to New Zealand because they're not, you know, just Pacific Islander rugby doesn't have the same access to rugby championships or World Cup status. But, you know, Duan Olivier just had a really, really good test series. You know, he bowled brilliantly. You've got, you know, Morkel's just retired. Dale Steyn doesn't have that many years left. And there's a real good chance for him to become a core part of the South African team. He wasn't a fringe guy, you know, fighting for scraps. So to throw that away immediately after the end of the series, and like Eugene said, immediately then say, as part of his plan for Yorkshire, he hopes that he could play for England one day. It is a little bit scary, and I wonder it's just a bit of a wake up call to cricket that ECB especially, we changed our rules, as we know, to rush Jofra Archer in because we want him in for the World Cup, and as a result, has that made us a bit more attractive to guys that are looking at switching codes because what might have been 5 years is now a 2-year qualification period, you know, or whatever those specifics are, and does that create a bit of an unintended consequence?
So what would you do about it? I mean, I'm just looking up here as well. I see he took a fiver in his first go for Yorkshire against Notts, and that's without the second innings even taking place yet. So I'm guessing that, you know, Yorkshire are absolutely rubbing their hands at this. It's fantastic for them. But where does this go? What do we do about it? Do we do anything about it? Is it just one of those things we've got to accept, or is there a plan B somewhere along the line?
Do you know what I find interesting about this conversation is not much was said when Morgan went from Ireland to England, or Boyd Rankin and then back to Ireland. So, you know, it's interesting when you look at it specifically in his case. But, you know, what about the Irish guys doing that? Is that acceptable?
Fair question.
So I would argue it's slightly different. For me, that's you know, and no disrespect to Irish cricket, and obviously it's changed slightly now, but and it, when Morgan did that, Ireland doesn't have test status. He couldn't play test match cricket for Ireland and go for a full test series against the world's best. So you weren't playing the same level of international cricket. You weren't getting the same exposure, opportunity or standard. So, and again, no disrespect to Irish cricket, but you know, that's the reality of it. That's different with this situation with Duan Olivier. That's for me what, you know, where the parallels cease somewhat. But look, you're right. At the end of it, it's the same thing of suddenly changing allegiance, and, you know, can you really kind of grasp the badge on the shirt and sing the anthem when, you know, when it might in theory change every 2 years? It's a tricky one.
So what would you do about it though, Kev? I mean, I totally see where you're coming from here, but I'm not sure what the other options are. Have the ECB got a case to answer here for making things too easy?
Possibly. I don't think I could probably talk about the strictness of our rules versus other nations. I don't know that, in all honesty, but
yeah,
I think we've definitely got to be aware of that. The more we court and welcome players from other countries to transition into our international team, you know, does that compromise the integrity of our county cricket and what we're getting young English cricketers to try and do when they see spots being snapped up, not just in a premier county like Yorkshire, but potentially in the international and the test team? What does that do for our young cricketers' confidence about potentially sending our own talent elsewhere? But yeah, it's one of those, I don't have an answer. It doesn't sit with me very well. I think it's a worry, but yeah, I don't quite know how you fix it.
Yush, what do you reckon?
I say just carry on. What I mean by that is, I think that, you know, if people want to do that, they should have the right to. You know, it's no different to changing clubs from a football side. I know I'm talking about countries here, but you know, if you have the opportunity to go and play in another country, doing something that you love, and you feel that that's something you need to do, I say crack on.
Well, I'm interested that you say that, Yush, as someone with, you know, strong South African roots, because the world game is bankrolled by India, Australia and England. They have all the money, they put all the money in, that's where the crowds go to watch test cricket, certainly. But you know, if you take those three nations out, then the world game is effectively bankrupt. So isn't this just a way to make those three cricket playing nations even stronger? And that's surely not in South Africa's interest, is it? Because it's a lot of South Africans who make this move.
Yeah, again,
Jack Rudolph, people like that. Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's Rudolph, there's a number of them that are doing that. You know, I think if there's enough talent, and you know, I will say, yeah, I understand that that's where the money is. But you look at those other nations now, and I specifically say South Africa, even without all of the players that we've mentioned that come and play over here, you know, they still beat India, they still beat England, they still beat Australia. So, you know, I think there's enough talent. I don't think making people stay in the country is something that you know, I would think of doing.
Fair enough. I hear where you come from. I'm not sure where I stand on that one. I feel ultimately that these trends are often quite difficult to stop, to be honest. And if you come up with a new plan, it's got to be a good one. Otherwise, you can just make situations worse. On a more positive note, if indeed that last section was negative, but on a more positive note, Yush, Cape Town. Apparently we are going. This is looking really good, I believe. Can you talk us through where we are with the tour for early 2020?
Yeah, so it's February 2020. We're planning on flying on Valentine's Day, the 14th of February.
That's going to go down well.
Yeah, I know.
Depends if they're coming with you or not.
Exactly. So, yeah, we're flying over. We've got a group so far of about 25 plane members. A number of the guys are bringing wives and girlfriends and some kids. Obviously, if you want to bring the kids along, it's more important. We're trying to make this a family affair, as we've spoken about. So, yeah, I think we leave on the Friday. We land on the Saturday. It's mid-cricket season there, so we don't have a game on the Saturday. We play Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. We have a rest on Wednesday. We play LMS on Thursday. We've got a game on Friday and then another game on Sunday. So it's a lot of cricket. Although I have spoken to a number of people and they've just said, yeah, you've got way too much cricket in there. But I don't know. We'll see. I mean, you know, it's still, we can still amend and change it if we need to. But right now, that's the plan. Yeah, it's all looking very, very positive.
I have to say, Yush, we talked through this itinerary about, 10 days ago, maybe. And I did chuckle because, of course, the last time Twickenham CC went on tour was 1999 to Barbados. And we played 5 games over 2 weeks. And let's just say we were remarkably consistent in our performances. We lost all 5. And I think a lot of the tour was about the events around the cricket. So I mean, best of luck with 6 games. And as you say, you know, people want to play, they want to play. But there may be a few corpse-like characters getting back on the plane to come back to the UK if you go down that route in its entirety. But it sounds great. And remind people, how do they get involved if they want to get involved?
Just contact one of your skippers. You know, anybody from Carlos to Steve to myself to Hine to Chris. You know, just get in touch. The bottom line is that we're booking our flights at the end of this month. So we're asking for a deposit, of which a lot of people, in actual fact, a lot of people have paid it all up front, which is good.
Have they? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So Donners has already done that, actually. So, yeah, we've got a number of people. Ethan's another one. So, like I said, there's a number of people that are really keen on it and, you know, getting involved, which is good. Yeah, so please just get in touch with us if you want to join. Dan, you know, all wives and girlfriends are welcome. We're trying to make this a family affair, so the more the merrier.
Fantastic. Sounds like it's going to be a really good trip. And I remember going to Barbados in 1999, and I can still talk until the cows come home about that. It, going on tour to play cricket is a brilliant thing to do. Thinking about winding up here, guys, but just wanted to, Kev, obviously our fixtures, as I mentioned earlier, are rapidly approaching. Next weekend, Acton and Englefield Green. The weekend after, on a Saturday, we've got an inter-club game, right?
Yeah, I believe so. I think we've still got to get the details out, but yeah, it's going to be a TCC versus TCC, chance to get together, combine it with a bit of a social and wet the heads on the new clubhouse, which a lot of people wouldn't have seen. So yeah, I think details of that on the calendar and skippers will be collecting availability soon.
Absolutely. I was going to say, if you want to play, get into Pitcheroo. So let us know when you're available. And of course, you can let us know when you're available for the whole season if you're that way inclined, if you know now. But the skippers will be looking at that when they pick their side. So no time like the present. Do get involved in that. One final thing I wanted to flag up. Quite a few people who listen to this podcast will be aware that one of Middlesex's is stalwarts, really. Charlie Myers, once of Sudbury Court, long time of Wembley. He passed away just a couple of weeks ago, quite suddenly. So it's quite a shock to all of us who knew Charlie well. I mean, just about everybody in Twickenham has been dismissed by Charlie and his hand grenades at one time in their playing career. So just like to say, you know, very sad to hear that. And you know, our thoughts go to his friends and family in what must be a pretty tough time. Moving forward, we're hoping that we'll be able to be a bit more regular in terms of the podcast that we produce. So keep listening in. And if we don't get a chance to chat before the cricket really kicks in, then best of luck, play a straight bat. And remember, the leave alone really is a cricket shot. OK, cheers, folks. Speak to you again soon.
Cheers, guys. Thanks, Dad.
Cheers, gents. Bye-bye.